Open your Bibles from the book of Acts.
Got everything all messed up. Good eyes. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'd have never found it. Okay, we're wired up. The book of Acts, chapter 10. I want to start with verse 42. I'm going to read about three verses. Acts 10:42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to preach your word one more time. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for these people that are gathered here, and you know every heart that's here. There are Christians that are in real need, and there are lost people that are on the road to hell. And Lord, there's plenty of us that need the word of God. And I ask you, Lord, to give me freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And that your Holy Spirit would take your word and apply it to hearts all over this auditorium. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. These houses in the old world were very much like a lot of houses in Mexico. Peter is staying with a friend, Simon the Tanner. And it says he went up to the roof to pray. Now, I've been in houses where we ate on the roof. The roof was like their yard. I mean, they have a fence around it. Sometimes they have the dog up on the roof. And you'll come up to the house and the dogs will be barking at you way up here. And, man, some of them, a few of them have got a fancy setup up there. It's just like a spa or whatever. And some of them, well, it's just like a backyard for a barbecue or whatever. They've got it all set up. Well, Peter is in a house and he wanted to pray and he goes up to the roof to pray. And while he's praying, he goes into a trance, sort of a dream state. Now, Peter is an Orthodox Jew, faithful man, probably a disciple of John the Baptist, for a good while before he ever met Jesus. And then he meets Jesus and becomes a disciple of Jesus. And he's undoubtedly the leader of all the apostles throughout his time. He's not used to going around Gentiles. He doesn't eat unclean animals. He is a kosher Jew. Now, while he's up there and he's praying and all of a sudden it's sort of a dream state comes to him, there's a great big sheet comes down. And on that sheet are all kinds of animals. Animals that a Jew could eat and animals that they couldn't eat. And he had these slithering things and all sorts of stuff that were unclean for him. And in the dream, in the trance, the Lord tells him, Peter, slay and eat. And he's telling the Lord, no, I've never eaten anything like this. That's never touched my lips. I've been right in this area And it was given to him three times. And when it's over, he's thinking, what in the world is God trying to tell me? What in the world am I supposed to learn from this? And at that time, there's some men knocking on the door of the building where he is, and they say, we've come to find Simon, who's surnamed Peter. Now, he goes down and meets with them. And they tell him, we serve a centurion. Now, we've got a warrant officer with us today, Pilate. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you. I don't know what a centurion would be, whether he'd be a major or a colonel or a general. I don't think he'd be a general, maybe like a full bird colonel. Centurion was the leader of 100 men in the Roman army. I'm not sure. But he's high ranked. He'll be rich. He'll be high ranked. He's used to being obeyed. A centurion had sent these men to get Peter. And Peter's come to them here where I've read you. And when he comes in and meets this centurion, he tells him, you know, it's unlawful for a Jew like me to come into a Gentile house. But God has showed me I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter got the message. The message wasn't about eating. The message was about people. The message was about salvation. The message was about forgiveness of sins. The message was getting right with God. I want to thank all of you that have been praying for me. My heart's supposedly right now, and some of you said the first time since I've been here that my heart's right. Probably so. But anyway, I don't know how long it's going to stay right, so you better catch me while you can. No telling what's going to happen. Peter is saying, I have been learning. God showed me something. Now, I'm not a Jew, but I'm pretty finicky when it comes to eating certain things. I don't like eating squid and octopus, and I don't even like oysters. And just a whole lot of things I don't like to eat. I like beefsteak. I like potatoes. I let the cows eat the greens, and then I eat the cow. That's where I get my vegetables. Peter's saying, I've got this image here, and God tells me to slay and eat. And he said, what in the world is he talking about? Well, he was talking about men. Talking about Gentiles. You see, Peter, have you ever heard he was given the keys? Well, Peter was given the keys. Peter stands up and preaches and opens the door to the Jews. And Peter, it is who they call to open the door. These are the first Gentiles saved. Yeah, that's right. This centurion and his household and his servants, they've been praying. And God sent an angel down to that centurion and told him, you go get Simon Peter. He's going to tell you words you need to hear. Yeah. And so they send for him. And Peter, this is new. This is strange. We don't go to them. How in the world I'm going to be unclean if I walk in this house, shake the hand of this man, or sit down and eat anything? But God had just clearly told him, I should not call any man common or unclean. Gospel is for everybody. Yes. D.L. Moody had a saying, I've always liked it, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Everywhere you go, it's needed. I've been told by some people it wasn't needed there. It needed next door. And I had to tell them you need it everywhere. Let me tell you, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need the gospel.
Amen. That's right,
amen. You need forgiveness of sins.
That's right.
Your greatest need is forgiveness of sins. Amen. Now, the number one thing you need to understand is you cannot come into the presence of God in your sins. You can't do it. God's holy. He won't receive you. He won't accept you. You don't stand a chance. You say, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell the old man this and the old man that. Oh, no, you won't. You'll be so frightened, you're going to fall at his feet as dead when you see him. All of your smart talk right now not going to do you any good in that day. Because when you stand before that judge, my friend, you better have your sins forgiven. And notice what he said, what I just read you. It is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick, that's the living, and the dead. Jesus Christ is the judge, and he's going to judge the living and the dead, and his judgment is going to be right. Amen. To him give all the prophets witness. You want to know what Jesus was pointing out to those two men on the Emmaus Road? What the prophets had to say about him. And here Peter is giving it to these Gentiles. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, not other name, through his name, it said, whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sin. Salvation is getting your sins forgiven. I don't know about you. I confessed sins for a couple of hours when I was getting saved because I had a lot of sins to confess. But I don't know how I understood that. I just knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I began to pray and ask God for forgiveness of sins. I took Christ as my Savior, and I wanted my sins forgiven. I remember the sense and the feeling and the acknowledgement in my soul when I knew I was forgiven. What a beautiful thing. Almost equal to salvation, to be forgiven by God. It's a major part. It's a beginning part. If you're in here today and you have never been saved, I want to tell you just as clear as I can possibly make it, without Jesus Christ and without his salvation, without his forgiveness, you will never see heaven. You'll die, you'll go out, you'll be judged for your sins, and you'll go to hell, and you will never pay your way out. Absolutely not. You do not stand a chance. So the absolute greatest need you have is to have your sins forgiven. Now there's only one name for that. None other name under heaven given among men but Jesus Christ. Amen. You know the name that'll give you a hard time today? I was listening to a TV personality who had recently professed faith in Christ, and he said, you can tell anybody anything about religion except the two words you cannot say without getting in trouble is Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Jesus Christ. That's the name. You're going to have to go to Jesus Christ to get your sins forgiven. And that's what he's telling these Gentiles here. He said, Jesus Christ is the name where you get remission of your sins. Now, thinking about it for salvation, that's really important. You need your sins forgiven. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need your sins forgiven. Now, you may think, I need to go to Susie over here and confess my sins, or to George over there and confess my sins, or I need to go back and try to take care of what I didn't know. Your sin is against God. The major part of your sin is not against the human that you sinned against. Your sin is against God. It offends God. Your sin is an offense unto God. If you read your Bible, you'll find that out. You need remission of your sins. That's the number one thing you need. You need it for peace with God. You need it for peace in your own heart. You need it for your family. Your unconfessed sins will keep you from sleeping. They'll keep you from having a good family life. They will mess up your kids. They'll mess up your marriage. They'll mess up your rest and your mental attitude. You need your sins forgiven. I'm going at it right now, maybe not be the right time for it, but even Christians need to confess their sins and get them right. Someone said it this way, keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. If you don't confess your sins and you don't get things right between you and God, you're not going to be a good witness. You're not going to be a good preacher or teacher. You're not going to be a good parent. And you're not even going to rest because these things will be coming into your mind. Not only do you begin salvation by having your sins forgiven, you're going to be asking for forgiveness all the way in this life. Verlene and I have been married 55 years. Do you know what that means? That means we've forgiven each other an awful lot. Isn't that true?
That's right. Amen.
Some of you got divorced for incompatibility. Well, we're incompatible. I could get divorced for that reason any day. Incompatibility? I notice these dating things that they have. They say, well, we're going to find out 29 places where you're compatible. I don't know how that works, but it didn't work in my life. We are just incompatible, and yet we've made it work. Because I forgive her all of her eccentricities. She doesn't have much to forgive me of course. No, you have to forgive each other.
That's right.
We're peculiar people. We're quirky.
Yeah, that's right.
We got bad attitudes, you know. We get up on certain days on the wrong side of the bed. You ever heard that?
Yeah, that's right.
The wrong side of the bed. Man, she can sure get up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes. Me, I always get up on the right side. We have to forgive each other. We've been forgiving each other for all these years. We've been putting up with each other. Do you know I don't like everything she does? She doesn't like everything I do. Now that sometimes hurts my feeling because I think everything about me is right where it ought to be. But she thinks some things I do are just not appropriate. She wouldn't do them if she wasn't with me. You got to forgive one another. Forgiveness is a very important thing in a marriage. Forgiveness is an important thing between brothers and sisters. You got to keep putting up with each other. You got to keep forgiving one another. Forgiveness is all important in human relations and the church right here. You know how we can stay together? Some of these people have been around here a long time. The other people come and they get offended real quick and go. You gotta have a tough hide to be at this place. I just want you to know. You better develop a hide like a rhinoceros. Don't let anybody be able to offend you and knock you out of a blessing.
Amen.
Don't let anybody hurt your feelings and kick you out of the church.
That's right. Amen.
Forget the feelings.
Yeah.
Walk by principle. Walk by the Word of God. Make a commitment to Jesus Christ and to His church and His people.
Amen.
And forgive.
Amen.
I know some of you, it's really hard for you to forgive. Somebody's said something ugly to you. Somebody's done you wrong. Somebody's actually cheated you. And you can't forgive. You go to bed at night and it's still on your mind. You're still burdened with it the next day. And years later, you're still thinking, when I think of that person, I think of this thing. Are you saved? Then you've been forgiven.
That's right.
You have been forgiven more by God than anyone has ever harmed you.
That's right.
You don't have a right to not forgive somebody, especially if they've asked you. They don't have to go through a big rigmarole and pay off this and pay off that. If they've come to you and you're a born-again Christian, been forgiven by God of all your sins, and you're on the road to heaven, you don't have a right to say no.
Amen.
You don't have a right to hold a grudge.
Amen.
You don't have a right to have your own temper and set up. Who do you think you are anyway? You're just a forgiven sinner.
Amen.
You can't get any higher than that. He said, you get remission of your sins in His name. Now this is Peter preaching to Cornelius. Look over here just a few lines in chapter 13, verse 38. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Peter was preaching to a centurion and his family and friends and soldiers, Gentiles, Italians probably. Paul is preaching to a Jewish congregation. And what does he tell that Jewish congregation? Be it known unto you, through this man, Jesus Christ, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. There it is again. To the Gentiles, to the Jews, you know what you need? You need forgiveness of sins. Even the law, the reason why they have all of these offerings and sacrifices and things is to take care of a broken law.
That's right.
I failed in the law and God made provision by a lamb or a bullock or something else to take care of transgressions. There's nobody in this room that is free of transgressions.
Right.
Nobody in this room that is free of sin. Your sin might be pride. You might think you're not a sinner. I've met people that have actually told me that. I talked on knocking on doors one day, and a man, I was visiting my sister, and he was talking to her, and she talked to him about sin. He said he hadn't sinned in 20 years. She said, well, you just lied. You just lied. This was 20 years. You hadn't sinned in 20 years? Have you been alive for 20 years? We are sinners. Look at all of us fatties. Now, if that ain't gluttony, I don't know what is. I definitely eat more than I need to live. But that's all right. I've seen some real gluttons that were skinny as can be. They had a hollow leg. That's where the food went because they out-ate me and didn't gain a pound. Look at us in every area of our life. Look at us in our marriage. Look at us with our children. Look at us at our work. Listen to the words that come out of our mouth. We're a bunch of sinners. We need forgiveness. And what he said right here was, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. It's through Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven. It's through Jesus Christ that you have access to God and to heaven and to eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through the church. It's not through good works. It's not through changing your life or joining this or that. It's accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And if you haven't done it, you need to do it today. He also said something else, verse 39. And by Him, that's Jesus, all that believe. Did you notice that all? It's a wonderful little word.
Yes.
All that believe are justified from all things from which it could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Amen.
He's talking to these Jews and he's comparing it to their law. And through this man, this same man, Jesus Christ, are you forgiven of your sins, but there's something added to it. You are justified.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You're justified from all things that you could not be justified by the law. had ways to take care of sins and get forgiveness and have it passed over for a while. But there's some things you just couldn't do. Some things it couldn't make. We have in the New Testament, in New Testament Christians, we have an unusual thing. We have the Holy Spirit of God coming in and giving us eternal life and never leaving us. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came and the Spirit left. The Spirit came and the Spirit left. Jesus described it as being born again.
Yes, amen.
Born of the Spirit of God. Where God takes up residence in our spirit and our soul and lives there forever. Amen. Never going to leave us.
Amen.
He said you could be justified. That means you can go up before the court of heaven and you're declared not guilty. It's only through this man,
amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me show you one other one in Acts. Acts 26. Look at verse 15. Acts 26, 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" This is Paul testifying before a king. "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus." Now you heard what Peter said and you heard what Paul said. Now this is what Jesus said. "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering from the people," that's the Jews, "from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive," what? "Forgiveness of sin." Forgiveness of sin. "And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
To open their eyes. Boy, that's exactly what happened to me. Did it happen to you? All of a sudden, where I was blind, then I could see. Things that looked foolish to me that I would not have considered before getting saved, all of a sudden looked valuable and worthwhile and intelligent. To open their eyes. Help them to see the ugliness of their sin and the wickedness of their sin and the destruction that waits you down the road.
Yeah.
One of the problems many human beings have, and mainly we blame teenagers of it, not seeing the long look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not seeing consequences. Not seeing the end of a thing. Too many times they're very foolish. They want the pleasure now. They want to do what they want to do. They want their freedom, not counting the cost of what it's going to cost me year after year after year and in eternity. Well, some of you are guilty of the same thing. Not taking the long look. Not seeing down the road at the consequences of what you're doing. Not seeing that if death should come, I'm not ready to meet God.
Yeah.
Oh, death comes. I just buried one of my favorite cousins. Good guy, I loved him. Loved him like a brother. He lived to be 87, almost 88. He told me, we talked every month. About midnight, he'd call me. We'd talk for about an hour. About once a month for years. He said, "I want to live every day I can." He was a Christian. "I want to live every day I can as long as I can take care of myself." And, you know, he did. Went in the hospital 3 days and he was gone. He never went to the nursing home. Never had to have somebody come in and take care of him. He got what he wanted. What are you going to get? You don't know. I'd love the same thing, but I've got no guarantee. You don't have a guarantee of what's going to happen to you. You can't see the future. What you better do is get a hold of the one who sees the future. And make him Lord of your life. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light. Amen. If you really get saved, God's going to change your mind about an awful lot of things. Amen. I didn't have a whole lot of time for reading the Bible till I got saved. And then I found time. It became an obsession with me. I loved it. I read it every day. I couldn't get enough of it. I went over it over and over and over and over again until I tried changing the way I read it. I've changed the way I read the Bible 5 or 10 times in my life. Because I was getting bored. I was getting the same thing. I was looking at it from a different point, so I had to come up with a different way so I could be interesting again. And I loved it. And it changed my life. It changed my wife's life and it changed my children's life. What a beautiful thing. You know, it changed from darkness to light. This book is light, my friend. This book is light. I want you to understand, people out there that do not believe this book, they miss the truth. They missed the truth. You know, he said something else here. He said, forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You ever want to join a real good club? Ever want to be among the elite? You know, there's some country clubs around here that take you $100,000 just to get a membership in. Well, why would you want to? Well, because you want to be with these people that are there. Maybe they're important for your business, or maybe they're important for you socially some way. Some people can justify something like that because of the advantage it may give to them. Let me tell you what, I've got an inheritance with the saints in light. Amen. When I die, I'm headed for heaven. When I die, I'm going to walk the streets with Peter and Paul. When I die, me and old Job are going to walk around and we're going to talk about kids. When I die, I'm going to listen to the story with Jonah of how he was swallowed by the whale. I'm going to sit down in fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk the streets of gold. What group are you heading out with? What group are you joining? You join those smart alecks that don't believe there's a God? Now, I'm sorry. I don't think it takes faith to believe God. It's reason to me. When I look at a watch, that it was made by someone who was a watchmaker. When I look at a world, it's just reasonable to me that there was a world maker. And when I look at human beings and all these animals by varied things, it's just reason to me. My reason tells me, and it did before I was ever saved, there is a God with a super intelligence out there, super power that can do anything he wants to do, and he did it on his own will. Now, to believe that Jesus Christ is that God takes some faith. But it's what the Bible claims. It's what I've read to you today. One name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Isaiah was a tremendous prophet. In fact, I guess there's no prophet in the Old Testament that I'd rather read than Isaiah, because it reads almost like the New Testament.
Yeah, that's right.
He had such insight and such light. He says in the first chapter, come now, let's reason together.
Yeah. Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. How about that's good reasoning? Deal with your sins. Admit you're a sinner. Deal with your sins and do it by God.
Amen.
Come now, let us reason together.
Amen.
You got sins that are like scarlet. Jesus can make them white as snow.
Amen.
Go over about 55 chapters, verse 6. And he'll say, call you upon him while he's near. Call you upon him while he is near. Says he'll abundantly pardon. When can you come to God? Not when you want to. When he is near. Is he near today? I believe every time I preach this word, he's here. I believe the Holy Spirit of God has promised to bless this word. And if I'm faithful to preaching this word, I believe the Holy Spirit will bless it. I believe when I preach, God, the Holy Spirit, convicts some people, maybe not everybody, some people of their sins and their need for Jesus. Has he done it to you? Has he spoken to you? Then it's not me. You need to deal with him. You need to seek the Lord with all your heart. You need to repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness. You need to take Christ as your Savior. And you need to do it when he's near. You decide that you're the boss. You can do anything you want to do. You'll make God on your terms, you'll be really mistaken.
Amen.
God has his own terms. And you're not the boss.
Amen.
You're not even free. But if God is near, that's the time to believe. That's the time to surrender. That's the time to say, I'll take Christ. Today is my day. Today is the day of salvation. Today's my day. If you're here and you're lost, 1, 2, 10 of you, I don't know. Don't walk out those doors without Jesus Christ forgiving your sins and saving your soul and changing your life. Don't walk out those doors that way. Come to Christ today. Let me say to every Christian here, I'm sure there are a number of Christians in this room that have unconfessed sin. That you got a burden on your heart that's tearing you up. You got problems that you can't deal with. And you need to confess them to God and ask God to clear things out of the way.
Amen.
Ask God to forgive you. Keep short accounts with God, Christian. We're going to sing number 249. This altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart, will you come?